What's up, y'all? Welcome back to our Dear Christian College Student Series. We have a special guest on the podcast, a new face on the podcast. It's Xavier Maryland, all the way from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. He's currently a campus pastor at Sugar Creek Baptist Church in Houston. Xavier, how are you doing today?
Happy to be talking with you, bro. It's been a long time. We ain't really talked in like the last couple of months. I had a kid recently, so like that, you know, that whole deal is going on. It's been crazy. It's been a crazy couple months, but it's been good, man. I'm great.
Great. So tell us a little bit about growing up in Rocky Mount.
All right, man. So Rocky Mount's a small town, but you got a lot of different people there because it's you got this small town that's in North Carolina, but you have people from New York and New Jersey that drive down and they end up in Rocky Mount because it's affordable and it's smaller, obviously, than a big city, but it's not the middle of nowhere like parts of North Carolina is. Same thing from the South. You have people drive up from Atlanta through South Carolina. They don't stop in South Carolina because nobody wants to live in South Carolina. I'm joking, of course. South Carolina's cool. No offense to people who live in South Carolina. But they drive up through South Carolina, they end up in North Carolina, so on and so forth. So it's a small town, man, like 60, 70,000 people, but it got voted by Forbes, I think, like 7 out of 10 worst, like, small towns to raise a family in. And that's just because, man, the school system's not necessarily great. The per capita crime rate is crazy high. Because you got this small amount of space, but there's so much crime, so much poverty, kind of all of that going on, man. So growing up there, you get to see your fair share of things. It's not necessarily the best environment, but man, I feel like I had dope parents, and they did the best they could. And obviously, man, with between them and God, I turned out all right. I definitely got my flaws, but I turned out all right.
So I had a question.
See ya. That's it, man.
Would you consider mm-hmm. yourself to be a believer in Jesus Christ?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, I believe in Jesus Christ. I consider myself what some people call born again, what some people call saved, what some people call, you know, the whole deal. That's a good question, man. So, like, for me, I grew up kind of in and around church, but I didn't really know, like, what church was, if that makes sense. It was just something we always did. Like, I didn't know the difference between, like, growing up, I was around church so much that I didn't realize gospel music was a separate genre of music. Like, I just thought it was just, I thought everybody listened to gospel music because it was just always around my house. Like, for example, I think I was like 12 or 13 when I figured out Shackles by Mary. Nah, I want that though. I was probably 10, 11 when I figured out Shackles by Mary. Mary was like a Christian song. I'm like, oh, I guess that makes sense. I just thought it was a song about dancing. I was like, yo, okay, this joint is fire. Like, take the shackles off my feet. I can dance. I don't know why you shackled, but if you want to dance, that's on you. You feel me? So I say that to say, man, so growing up, I spent a lot of time back and forth between my mom and my dad. They split when I was younger. And so back and forth between my mom and my dad, like 1 year my mom, 1 year my dad. I went to like 3 different elementary schools, 2 different middle schools, the whole nine, just back and forth between both parents and in separate cities in that North Carolina area. And man, during that time, there was this space where my brothers and I were all living with my dad, and then my dad was about to get married. So my dad gets married, and me and my stepmom and all of us don't necessarily get along. Me, my stepmom, my brothers don't necessarily get along like that. And me and my brothers get along, obviously. We just don't get along, my stepmom. and she don't get along with us. My dad, who was in the military at the time, gets deployed. And so now he's going to be gone for the next 18 months to 2 years. You can't really talk to him, can't really interact. They don't let you keep a cell phone in Iraq, obviously. And so me and my brothers all left and went to live with my mom. And me and one of my brothers have different moms, so he went to live with his mom. Me and my other brother went to live with our mom. And during that time, man, I was probably most separated from church than I've ever been because we were more so in church with my dad. Long story short, and I do mean a long story short, my stepmom at the time, like, took me and all my brothers and had us, like, paternity tested and was, like, doing anything she could to, like, drive this rift in between us and my dad. I know, bro. Crazy stuff. And it came back that, like, my brother was my dad's son, but I was not. And so I was 9 years old, and my dad was gone to Iraq. And so we were dealing with the fact, like, yo, what if he, like, dies at war and never comes back again? And you can't talk to him outside of, like, writing letters, which take forever to get back and forth. And I was like, man, like, even if my dad comes back, am I gonna have, like, a father figure in my life after he figures out all of this stuff? And I tell this part of the story because it was at that time that some of the guys who had been in, like, a men's Bible study with my dad, and my dad, man, he's an introvert. He's not a deacon. He's not a, like, you know, he's not a pastor. He's never spoken. Like, he doesn't even necessarily like to pray out loud. He's not a very, like, outspoken guy, very reserved, solid dude though. And I had all these men from the church come up to me like, hey, we've been around your dad for the last 5 or 6 years. He's been in, like, this kind of connect group with us. And we just want to tell you the type of man he is. And they told me about just all the stuff that he had done at the church, where he had never even told us about. Like, he didn't even come home and, like, quote unquote, brag or explain to us, like, either the type of money he would give or stuff he would donate. One guy came up to me and was like, man, when I got out of prison, your dad had just bought, like, one of those fancy, like, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 zero turn lawnmowers for some of his rental property. And when he found out I got out of prison and couldn't get a job, he gave me the lawnmower and told me the only thing I had to do was just come cut the grass whenever I could. And man, they just started talking about the type of man my father was, and they were like, hey, I want you to know, we feel like we could speak for him when we say, when he gets back, this isn't gonna change anything. And it was at that moment that I think church became, my dad comes back, has a conversation, this doesn't change anything, you're my son, you know, I raised you, it doesn't matter what the DNA tests say, blah, 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 blah. And I think it was at that point, two things kind of happened for me. One, I started to understand more so the scripture that talks about how we've received the spirit of adoption. It says we receive the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And I understood it more because then I understood my dad chose to be my dad. And it made it almost more special to me having a relationship that I knew he had an out, but he didn't take it. And I was far from the perfect kid. I was far from the perfect son. My brothers were, like, the athletes. They had talents. They were good at stuff. I was unathletic. I didn't really have anything I was good at. Like, I was kind of the runt of the family. And so my dad to come back and have those conversations with me really solidified that scripture for me, which I had heard in life before. But I think that's when I understood. And I felt like that's when different mentors in my life were explaining to me, hey, that's what Christianity is like. God has chosen you, and now your response, they're like, hey, you know how, like, grateful you feel toward your dad. He was like, that response is now your kind of your Christian life and your Christian walk with God. And so I think that's the moment where I truly understood the faith that I had professed and said that I was a part of. And then that's also the moment that church became, like, a solidified entity for me. It was like, oh man, this is what church is about. Not necessarily just praise and worship, not necessarily just having a place to serve, but people who at my lowest moment gathered around me and loved me through kind of this difficult point and season in my life. And like I said, at the time I was around 13-14, and man, I spent the rest of my high school, you know, kind of tenure hanging around some of those same mentors, that same friend group who walked through that stuff with me, so on and so forth. And so I say that's how I came to know Christ. I think that's how I came to know Christ. I was always in and around church, but it wasn't until somebody explained that to me that I think I made a true decision to allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior in my life, and then to walk forward in submission of that, if that makes sense.
Wow, now that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting. A lot we could, you know, sit there and really unpack. But so talk to me about college. What college did you go to? What was your major? Did you want to go to college? What was that?
Yeah, man. That's a good question. So, like, I went to a high school called an early college. And so in my graduating class, there were 60 of us. So it's small, bro. And the main difference is, instead of taking electives, like, we didn't have a gym class, we didn't have any sports, there was none of that, there was no art class. In place of all your electives, you would take college classes. And as a result, you could graduate with a degree, like a 2-year associate's degree, that you could transfer to any school that would take it when you left high school. And so I left early college with enough credit to be able to graduate from high school I left high school with enough credit to be able to graduate from college in like 2.5 years. And at the time, there was this big wrestling for me, because later in my high school career, I was like, man, I think I really want to go into full-time ministry. Like, at some point, I want to be a pastor, but not like a senior pastor. Like, man, I want to be like a connect group pastor, a youth pastor, like somebody else on staff, somebody other than, like, I'll be the children's pastor, I'll be the college pastor, the young adult pastor. The point is, I want to be somebody other than the person responsible for doing everything. Like, I just, you know, that type of thing. So I started talking to some mentors. Hey, do I go straight to seminary, or do I wait it out a little bit? Do I go get a degree in something else? And my senior pastor at the time said, man, let me tell you something. He said, I think most churches fail not because people don't know the Bible. He said, most churches fail because people aren't good leaders, and they don't know how to lead people, and they don't know how to manage people, and they don't know how to manage money and all of those things. And I think that kind of sparked my thinking a little bit. And that's when I was like, okay, I decided to go to University of North Carolina, Greensboro. And I got an undergrad in business administration, and I graduated in 2017. So that was kind of my college route. And then also, man, I wanted to go to a non-Christian school. I wanted to go to a school where there were unbelievers. And yeah, I wanted to go to a school that had a little bit of school spirit and the whole nine. So,
right, so
it's kind of how I...
How was like life in college as a believer?
Yeah. Man, life in college is life in college, bro. Especially if you live on campus, but even if you don't live on campus, like, college, somebody told me like this, whatever you want, you can find it in college. And you know, there's the, whatever you want, bro. Take that sentence however you want it, bro. Take that sentence however you want it, for real. Whatever you want, you can find on a college campus. And man, so that's very much so UNCG. UNCG is the most diverse school in the UNC school system. And as a result, man, you had all different types of people. You had people from, you know, 50, 60 different countries. You had people from all different states. You had people from all different backgrounds. Even your black people and your white people are all diverse. Like, they come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different places, different cities, different upbringings. It was just like this huge hodgepodge of all of these people, man. And like I said, whatever you want, you can find in college. Somebody told me on the way to college, I was kind of scared because I was a believer in high school. I was scared because I'd heard all these people say, man, college changes you. Like, you know, you get to college and like it changes you. And somebody told me, man, college is not going to change you at all, but it's going to make you extremely comfortable to be who you've always wanted to be. And if you leave, and deep down, like if you were in high school and deep down, you always wanted to be out there, like you were a believer, but you really didn't, you weren't feeling it. You were just going to school, going to church because your parents wanted you to. Once you get to college, you're not going to do that no more. If you, you know, deep down, if you had a big, big lust issue that you never dealt with, and you always wanted to kind of be out there, once you get to college, you're going to find what you was looking for. And UNCG was the exact same, man. So being in school, I kind of came into college knowing that, knowing the dangers, if you will, or knowing the, all right, cool, what do I want? So I spent the summer before I went to college just going, all right, man, like, who do I want to be? Like, when I get to college, who do I want to be? What type of people do I want to hang out with? I connected with a church up there even before going, because I was like, man, I need I'm going to need help. I'm going to need community. I don't trust myself up here by myself alone where don't nobody know me. And yeah, man, I reached out to a church up there. I got connected to a college ministry early. I didn't stay in that college ministry my whole time there, but it was really, really helpful for me my first semester. And just went from there, man. I got there and I told my roommate, I'll tell you a story about my roommate. So my roommate was a dude named, DJ, right? And first of all, homie, like my guy. And DJ's mom, when they were moving in, so I moved in first, my parents are out there, then he moved in his stuff. They go to Walmart, actually they go to Sam's Club, they come back with all of this stuff, you know, bulk, tissue, blah, 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 blah. DJ mom walk up to me when they about to leave, like, hey, you know, excited for you to be my son's roommate, we got a gift for you. She go in the bag, pull out the 128 pack of condoms, bro. Bro, the 128 pack, my guy. And was like, hey, we just wanted you to have these. Like, we know it's going to be a crazy couple years. His mom, bro. So this, you already know what DJ is on. Like, you already know what DJ on. So I'm trying to be nice. I'm like, Miss DJ mom. Like, thank you. I appreciate you. Like, you the best or whatever. Like, just let him keep them though. He could keep them on his side of the room. Like, not wanting to say, yeah, I'm not going to need these. Like, I believe in Jesus. I'm celibate, blah, 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 blah. I was just like, hey, just let him keep them. I ain't want to offend her. She was like, nah, I got him one too. Bro, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Bro. Did you get us both 128 pack? Bro, what do you think? Bro, who do you think your son is? And who do you think I am? So I already knew what it was about to be. So his mom leaves, man, and I'm telling that story for a reason. His mom leaves, and this would have been the perfect time. Like, this would have been, I got my wingman, right? Clearly I got my wingman. Like, if this is what you want to do, clearly you got the guy right here. This is your man. And, man, I had a conversation with him that day. We vibing, blah, 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 blah. He's like, tell me about yourself. I told him, man, I'm a believer. You know, this is the stuff I'm trying to get done while I'm in college. Like, I want to be a part of a college ministry, or I want to start a college ministry. And I told him, I said, bro, I'm going to let you know something. Like, I got a car. They let me keep my car. And there will not be, I said, it don't matter how late we stay up Saturday night. It don't matter what time I come in Saturday night, if I'm hanging out with friends, if I'm staying up playing a game, doing whatever. I said, come Sunday morning, every Sunday you see me over here, you ain't gonna never wake up and see me laying in my bed over there. Every morning I'm going to church. And when I told him that, if I could be honest with you, I didn't believe it yet. Right? I didn't. Because I didn't know. This is my first. We hadn't even started classes yet. I don't know if I'm going. I do know one thing. I'm definitely not going to feel like getting up and going to church every morning. But I told him that because even though he wasn't a believer, it set up accountability in my life. Now, I got somebody who I know he's basing all of what he believes. I don't know what the rest of his family, the rest of his life. He might be basing all of what he knows about God, Jesus, and Christianity based off our interactions the next semester or whatever it is. And so by telling him that up front, the Saturday nights or the Sundays that I was there tired and I was like, oh man, I ain't going this Sunday. I'm fine. Like, I'd be cool. I just watch online or something. In the back of my head, I'm thinking, dang, I told this dude I'm going to go to church every Sunday. And I had the built-in accountability just by telling on myself. He didn't even have to say nothing to me. I told on myself up front. And as a result, I had that built-in accountability. So that's kind of like, that was what college life consisted of. It consisted of me not always being around believers because you're not on a Christian campus, so everybody's not going to be believers. But because I always told everybody I was a believer and told them the standard I was trying to live at, when I didn't want to live there, I knew that I had their eyes on me, you know, and that helped me be accountable. Because there were some times I just didn't want to live there. I didn't want to go to church every Sunday. I didn't want to always, like, you know, watch my mouth and, like, not curse or not respond in anger. Or, you know, I didn't want to always get up and go to class. I didn't want to, like, sometimes I wanted to cheat like the rest of everybody else and blah, 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 blah. And Like, sometimes I wanted to, just go crazy, drop all the Christianity stuff. Like, there's all the temptations you could think of in college. They'll always be there. And having people around who, even though they weren't believers, I had told them the standard I was trying to uphold, helped hold me accountable. And that was all of college. Man, I'm about to do this thing. No, can't do that. I'm gonna disappoint God. I'm gonna disappoint myself. And I'm gonna disappoint these other people who I told what my goals are already, even though they're not believers. And so that was pretty much college for me, man. A constant tension back and forth of, can't do that. People watching. Can't do that. People watching. Can't do that. People watching. So that's what it was, man.
All right. So I got a question for you, right? So taking into consideration, you know, everything you've been through in this faith walk, everything you've learned, the ups and downs, the pitfalls, you know, everything you've been through, like the good moments, the bad moments, looking back at college, right? If you was to walk back on campus today, right? Like, looking back, like, what would you do differently, or what did you do differently if you went back to college with the same, you know, knowledge and experience you have now concerning your faith?
That's good. What would I do differently? All right, I'll give like a spiritual answer. Like, I have like my spiritual stuff, and I got like some regular stuff too. So spiritually, I would definitely do what I did and set up accountability. I'm not sure if I don't tell people who I am and like what I'm, you know, what I quote unquote am trying to do and what I want to be about, I'm not sure if I make it through college having avoided as much of the temptation as I did. Does that make sense? So even when I first got to college, so when I was there, I did a lot of stuff. I hosted a lot of events. I did a lot of like spoken word stuff. We did a lot of different organizations I was a part of. We did a lot of stuff on campus, so on and so forth. And so I got a lot of public like recognition and like affirmation. And there would be times, and I can even remember times in particular, where like people will walk up afterwards from some of this stuff, and I would almost awkwardly insert my faith into the conversation. Once again, as another form of accountability, sometimes not even for them. Like, I wasn't even trying to win anybody to Christ at this point. Sometimes I just like, yo, this is my personal defense against temptation. So when I first got there, I started dating my wife in college. But before we started dating, like when I first got there, you know, girls would walk up to me after like some of these shows that we would do or whatever. And I'm like, hey, she's like, well, you know, oh my goodness, the spoken word was good. I appreciate you. Like, yeah, man, all comes from God, bro. Everything I do, I try to base off the scriptures. You know, I got to depend on them, blah, 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 blah. I try to do that in everything I do, so on and so forth. Like, I try to live the life that the Bible tells me I got to live. Because in the back of my head, I'm thinking, all right, now if I start flirting with this girl and saying something off the wall later, she's going to be like, wait, didn't you tell me you was trying to do everything like the Bible? What you mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so that was definitely something I keep doing. Even if they wouldn't have thought like that, they thought like that in my head. And as a result, it stopped me from doing stupid stuff. So definitely telling on myself, keeping my faith forward is something that I do. Something that I wish I would have done in college is, college is like a weird time because you get more freedom. Like, you get the freedom kinda of complete independence and adulthood, but you don't normally have all the responsibilities. So like in college I was working, but I didn't have to pay rent. You know, like it was all included in my tuition. I had a meal plan. So I was working, but I didn't have to have a strict budget to pay for food. Like I was working, but I didn't have like a cell phone bill yet. I was working, and I know everybody's college experience not like this. I'm just saying for those who are like mine. And so you got all this freedom normally, but you don't have all the responsibility. You don't have a job you have to get up and go to every single day. So maybe you do. I didn't. Even when I worked, I didn't have to go every single day. And because I had all this freedom, I wish I would have taken that time. That would have been the easiest time to establish like a rhythm or like a discipline to say, all right, cool. I'm gonna wake up every morning at this time and pray or read my Bible for this amount of time. Like that would have been the less, like the least stressful part of my life to be able to establish that. Cause I mean, you fast forward, I graduated 2017, 18, 19, 21, 22. I graduated December 17. So 5 years ago, literally this month, 5 years ago. And every year my life has just gotten more difficult and more complicated. You know, you add a full-time job on top of that. Then you add a wife on top of that. And then you add a kid on top of that. And then you add a house on top of that. And then you add other responsibility on top. Like, it just gets more and more difficult after college to maintain your relationship with God. So I wish in college I would have been as disciplined as I could with stuff like reading and praying, because you control your schedule in college. Everything in college that you do, either you say yes or no to. Every organization I was a part of, even when I was busy, at the end of the day, I said yes to it. And the day I said no, somebody would have been upset, but I mean, they couldn't force me to do it. So I wish I would have taken advantage of just being like, man, let me establish the disciplines that I'm gonna need for the future. And then lastly, on a non like spiritual note, I wish I would have not stressed about stuff as much. And I wish I would have taken advantage of saying, man, this is, just like you said before, this is a time where I'm going to get a lot of freedom and not a lot of responsibility. So like, for example, I wish I would have hung out with my friends twice as much. Like, I wish we would have, you know, 3 a.m. on a Friday, I wish we would have went to Cookout and got some food. Oh, that's a North Carolina restaurant, if y'all don't know what that is. You know, Sunday after church, I wish we'd have hung out and went and played sand volleyball at Sonic or something. You know, I just wish more often to enjoy being around the people you love the most. Because once again, the further you get away from college, the more people have jobs, the more people be tired. Bro, I got a newborn now, which is crazy, by the way. Before having this baby, I didn't know nothing more about babies than I did when I was in college. So whatever you know about having a baby right now is what I knew 3 months ago before we had this baby. And so now that I have a newborn, bro, when that man go to sleep, if it's 9:45, dog, I'm sprinting to the bedroom to go to sleep. I'm not calling my homeboy like, yo, what you doing, bro? Yo, let's go hang out, dog. Let's go. Bro, what you trying? Nah, dog, I'm going to sleep, bro. I'm trying to get some rest. You know, I got a job I got to be at every day. And so I wish I would have taken advantage of just being able to hang out and chill without all the kind of pressures of life, if that makes sense. So those are my two.
All right, so if you were to give a college student, a freshman, all right, so you got two scenarios, two types of people, right? You got a freshman that just walked on campus, trying to live right, just mm-hmm. like you, right? Like how you were, right? And then you got the other scenario of somebody that wasn't thinking about God, wasn't thinking about none of that. They went to college. They said, yo, I'm going to college to have fun. I got a mission. I'm on a mission, right? And mm-hmm. that person right now is, you know, mm-hmm. facing guilt and condemnation. So, like, what would you give those, what advice would you give those two, like, both of those scenarios, people in both of those scenarios?
That's good, man. First thing I tell somebody that's a freshman is find your people as quickly as possible. Like, man, it doesn't matter what you want to do in college. If you don't find two or three people that's trying to do the same thing you're trying to do, you're not going to make it. And I'm not saying that in like a condemning way, but like you weren't built to be an island. You know, you weren't built to like white knuckle your way through, like, you know, doing all of the stuff. So if you can find you one, two, three, you know, maybe there's a college ministry full of people that you connect with, but then you find your three, four, five people that you hang out with. I would suggest if you're a guy, you find two, three guys. And if you're a girl, you find two, three girls. If you are a guy, I wouldn't suggest you find one girl. And if you're a girl, I wouldn't suggest you find one guy, because obviously there's temptation there. But if you can find you two, three, you know, people, even if it's mixed gendered, as long as you got somebody that's there with you, you know, type deal, that can be your source of accountability, be your source of encouragement, be your source of, you know, the scripture talks about how iron sharpens iron, be that iron for you so that college is not so lonesome, you know? Like there's, man, there's something freeing about hearing that other people are struggling just like you, but getting through it, you know? Like when... It, you know, my homeboy come up to me in college, just encouraging, like, boy, I almost lost the battle last week, King. I ain't gonna lie to you, dog. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But we made it through it. We made it another week. Man, I'm proud of you, boy. Like that stuff, there's camaraderie in that. Like it feel like you got a team with you. It feel like you ain't in this alone. But if you got a, bro, if you got to walk in class every day and see that same girl and she not a believer, but she fine. And she been giving you all types of hints over and over again. And you got to keep telling her no. And then when you walk out of class every day, you go, man, I cannot believe I told this girl no again. And you just beating yourself up over and over again about telling this girl no. And then you eventually you're going to go, we can hang out at her dorm one time. Like, it ain't going to kill me. I'm just going to get to know. I'm just going to be her friend. Like, and you could talk yourself into a lot of stuff. But, man, if you got your people who... You struggle, they struggle, but they make it through it. They hold you accountable, so on and so forth. Man, it makes it so much easier, bro. The group of guys we hung around, we were so serious about accountability. We shared our location with each other. It's like, bro, here's my class schedule, dog. Well, if I'm not in one of these places right here, you got full permission to ask me where I'm at. And I'm not going to be like, yo, why you checking on me? Blah, 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 blah. Hey, if I say I'm going somewhere... Obviously, you know, dude might be dating somebody, blah, 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 blah. Where y'all going, bro? Oh, we going to the mall, dog. All right, cool. What time y'all leaving tomorrow, bro? Bro, we leaving at 8:30. All right, I'll check on you at 8:30. Cool, bro. If I pull up to her house after 8:30, I give you full-blown permission. You got my location. Come knock on the door. Like, come get me. Yo, we got, dog. Yo, you, bro, this test we got to study for, bro. I know y'all just hanging out watching movies, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, but we got to go, King. So I would say, man, if you just got on college, find your people, find some accountability, people you can laugh with, have fun with. Like, don't just hang with some Christians as squares. Like, they're not fun people to hang around. Find you a group of Christian people that you actually like. If they Christian, but you don't like them, like, find some people that you actually like that are also Christians. And I promise you, if you're on a college campus, they are there. You got to look for them, but they are there. You might not find them week one, two, three, four. You might not even find them first semester. I didn't get my like actual solidified friend group probably until the end of my second semester going into the summer. But find your people. That would be my encouragement. For the person who's like, man, I wasn't a believer, or maybe I was kind of back and forth a little bit, but now I'm feeling that guilt and I'm feeling that conviction a little bit. My encouragement would be, man, I feel like God allows us to feel convicted to bring us back to who he's called us to be and who he wants us to be. And so my encouragement would be, don't fight against the feeling. Don't fight against the, oh man, I shouldn't be doing this. Lean into that, you know, lean into trying to be who God has called you to be. Lean into trying to live up to a biblical standard. Man, Jesus loves the heck out of you and he died for you so that in the moment that you made a decision to turn away from your sins and turn towards God, that you could do that in any moment you decided. You're never too far gone. And at the end of the day, bro, we young. I say we. I still feel like I'm not in college, but I'm still young. We young, bro. At the end of the day, we young. You got your whole life in front of you, meaning like there's no way you've messed up so much now that you can't make your way back to God. So turn from whatever you're doing, turn back to God. I had a, when I was in high school, I was in a relationship with this girl and I was on the leadership team at my church. And we were not living correctly. And I remember approaching one of my mentors who was a pastor at the time. And I was like, man, dude, I'm so convicted, bro. Man, I'm just not living right. I think I need to quit the leadership team, man. And I was just telling him, here's why I'm about to quit. Like, I can't be out here being a hypocrite. Like, I'm telling people X, Y, Z, but I'm living this way, you know, in multiple areas in my life, blah, 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 blah. And he said the most profound thing I ever heard in my life. And I try to live by it till today. He said, don't quit leading, quit sinning. And I was like, dang, that makes sense, bro. I kind of wish you hadn't told me that. Because deep down, what we really saying is, God, what I really want to do is I want to sin without the conviction. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm doing wrong. I still want to do wrong. Like, I'm in college. I'm feeling this conviction. Man, I'm not ready to go back to church yet. Why? Because I love what I'm doing. I love the sin I'm in. But I just want to sin without the guilt. And so don't sin without the guilt. Just stop sinning. Don't quit church. Don't quit God. Don't quit reading the Bible. Quit sinning. Like, all that energy you're going to put into not going to church, not reading your Bible, all of that good stuff. Put that energy into not sinning, and then you'll be all right. So that would be my encouragement for that person that's trying to make their way back.
Yo, don't quit leading, quit sinning. Wow.
Bro, it's I don't know why nobody had ever said that to me in my life. I'm like, that makes sense. Just quit sinning. Jeez, that's wild.
All right, final question before we get out of here, right? At this point of your life, all the suffering you've been through, the hills, the valleys, the ups and downs, even as a Christian, what's your why? Like, why Jesus? Why are you still here? Why haven't you, you know, given up yet? Like,
yeah. That's a good question, man. I was with my leadership team the other day at the church, and I'm notorious for being cheap and not spending the church's money on anything. They'd be like, oh, man, we need this. I'd be like, look, we can make it. We don't need to go buy it. Let's make it. Like, we'll go to Home Depot. We'll do whatever we got to do. They joke and say that I chose Jesus because it was free, and anything free is me. But no, man, I think, man, I've leaned in and bought in so much to Jesus because I've seen him do things over and over and over and over again. And I truly have seen in my life the church be the church. And so, man, I am in ministry and I work at a church because I am sold on God's desire to use the church and the local body of Christ to reach the rest of the world. Everything I do as a pastor, technically, I could do outside of being a pastor by profession. I could preach without being a pastor. I could tell people about Jesus without being a pastor. I could spread the gospel without being a pastor. As a matter of fact, you probably can do it more because you would work in a place surrounded by unbelievers, and thus you could share the gospel with somebody new every day versus my coworkers are all believers. They work at a church. They're believers. I'm not going to say obviously, because some people, you'd be surprised, my guy. But they work at a church. They're believers. I'm in ministry because I believe in the local church and God's desire to impact people's life through the organization of the church. And so for me, my why day to day is not just Christ and him crucified. That is enough, by the way. But it is Christ died for our sins, rose so that we now get to live this life and tell other people about Jesus, and then gave us this, what the Bible calls the bride of Christ, the church, you and I, that God lives inside of us. We become the church. He gave us this community to be a part of while we walk through this life together on earth. And so I think there's something so, so special about true, genuine, biblical community that looks like what Paul and the rest of the apostles would describe in the book of Acts and in the New Testament. And so to sum it all up shortly, the reason I keep going is because, man, one, Christ made a huge sacrifice. And in the middle of that sacrifice, he gives us freedom to live this life and to have fun and to pursue our dreams and to tell people about Jesus on the way to heaven. But then number two, I keep going because I am convinced that God wants to continue to use the body of Christ, the church, to impact and change the world in every single area. He wants to use the church to see people's lives change spiritually, physically, mentally, financially. And so every single day, I'm convinced that God left me here on earth to be a part of that local church and to help that local church move the mission of God forward as fast as possible. If my life was only about me and my relationship with God, and if your life was only about you and your relationship with God, the moment you got saved, the moment I got saved, we'd all died because we would have won the game. Game over. You got saved. You got to level 100. You good now. Retire. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. I'm now a believer. Now I got a job. And so God left us here to do a job. And so my why is, man, that mission that God left us with, I feel like.
All right. As we close this episode, tell us a little bit about your podcast. Anything else you want to shout out before you go? And how can we stay in contact with you?
Oh, yeah, man. That's dope, man. Yeah, I do a podcast called The How You. And so you've heard everybody Googles all the time, man, how to. Like the other day, I was like, man, how in the world am I going to hang this stuff in the back of my office? So I just went online and typed in how to blah, 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 blah. And it popped up. And so the How You, the idea is it becomes the how-to manual for personal growth. And so we talk about everything from time management, finances, personal relationships, spirituality, the whole nine. And the reason we do that, crazy enough, is because of what I just said. Is because I believe that God wants to use the local church and body of Christ to impact the world in every way, not just spiritually. Because I think if you watch Jesus in the Bible, oh my goodness, don't make me start preaching. I'm not preaching. I didn't come here to preach. But I get excited when I think about the Bible. If you watch Jesus in the Bible, Jesus performed miracles because he used people's physical needs and physical circumstances to expose them to a spiritual need that was deeper and up underneath all of that stuff. And so the how you is just that. It is the idea that if we talk long enough, even if you're an unbeliever, if we talk long enough about your finances, your relationships, your mental health, and all of that stuff, eventually you will find at beneath all of that stuff some type of spiritual need every single time. And people know this deep down. It connects with them on a level deeper than anything else. Even people who are non-believers. People who are non-believers are obsessed with their purpose in life. And that's because up underneath that selfish ambition of purpose is a spiritual desire to connect with their Lord and Savior. You know, people want to be significant. They want to make a lot of money. They want to do all of this stuff. But underneath all of that stuff, the deeper you go, you always find a spiritual need in there somewhere. And so, man, that's called The How You. You can go on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are streamed. It's called The How You. You can also follow me on Instagram at XVR Maryland. So it's Xavier without the vowels, XVR Maryland, just like the state. And man, you can DM me, ask me any question. I'm an open book. If you listen to the podcast and you're like, yo, I want to hear about this on the podcast, then you can DM that to me and we can start a new podcast episode about it. We are not relaunching. The podcast never stopped, but I took a break after I had this baby because it changed your life. But new episodes, that's what I should say. New episodes of the podcast are dropping in January and we're going to go back to weekly. We took a little bit of a break so we could recalibrate and get our life together. But we bike, man.